And I'd like to begin where Mr. Oliver has left off. The Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse number 11, the words of the Lord Jesus. And he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Just down the chapter, just verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm thankful that Mr. Oliver spoke as he did, because this great God that he has been bringing into focus for us is the God who has revealed himself. One of the titles for the Savior who was sent is the Word. Tonight we are using words with the limited ability that we have to try and convey to you the thoughts that are unseen in our mind. And of course that's the way we communicate. We have thoughts in our hearts, in our mind, in our soul, but somewhere along the line, we will translate those unseen, invisible thoughts into words. And by means of words, we will seek to communicate one to the other so that we will be able to understand one another and what's in our mind and what's in our heart and our intentions. And as we think of this great God of whom it could be said, God is a spirit, real but unseen, a moment came when all that was in his heart and all that he was in his essence was revealed in fullness. And the Word, the eternal God, became flesh. The mighty Creator came down from the glory above and he stepped into his own creation. What a marvel, what a mystery. It's beyond explanation tonight, but the fact remains that this one who's called the Word, who was in the beginning with God, who in the beginning was God, no beginning, no end, co-equal, eternal. A moment came when the Word became flesh. And as we look at John chapter 1, we begin to get a little glimpse of His beauty, of His majesty, of His grace, of His kindness, of His interest. And I could go on and on and on. Because you see, all of the titles of the Lord Jesus just reveal more of the beauty of His person and the glory of His love. Some of His titles are on the banner before you. He is known as the Way. And He is the only approach to God. He's known as the Truth. And all that God is, as truth, has been revealed in the Lord Jesus. Thank God He's known as the Life. And tonight, God's desire is that you might have life. Not just physical life as we have it tonight, but that you might be brought into relationship with Him. That you might receive the blessing of eternal life. That you might be with Him forever. That's God's purpose. That's why God speaks to us. He's known as the door. And I'd like to tell you one more time that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Thank God there's a door that is open that all may go in. And tonight God is waiting and welcoming men and women who return to Him. But what we have read tonight is the lovely title of the Lord Jesus when He says, I am the Good Shepherd. Could I tell you something that you already know? There's not very many shepherds in this world of ours. Not very many that have an interest in your eternal soul. Not very many that are willing to go to the place of sacrifice and lay down their life that you might be delivered from hell. Not many shepherds in this world tonight. In fact, it's most significant that one of the first world rulers, the man who had the first kingdom in this world, was a man called Nimrod, Genesis chapter 10. And what is linked with that man called Nimrod is not just the kingdom, but it's the fact that he was a mighty hunter. What marks a hunter? He's a man who's ruthless. He's a man who's going out to take life. He's a man who's going out who's not going to have any mercy. In fact, if you have any mercy, you're not going to be a good hunter. There's one thing that marks a hunter. That's to take life. And do you know that in this world of ours, there is a mighty hunter? In fact, he's called the Prince and Power of the Air. He's known as the God, the controller of this world. And he has one purpose in view. Jesus said in verses that we could have read in John chapter 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And you don't have to go very far in this world and in this life and in this city to understand that at best it's the survival of the fittest. We're living in a jungle. We're living in a world in which dog-eat-dog is the norm. Watch out for yourself. Take care of yourself. Don't let anybody trample on you. Keep everybody back. But into such a world has come a shepherd. Wonderful to realize that when God made His choice known for a king, He chose a shepherd. A man whose heart is linked with some poor sheep. With those that can't take care of themselves. His heart is linked with those that are always going astray. Those that are defenseless. And when God's heart is revealed, not only in David's day, for he was God's choice as the king of Israel, but when he sent the Savior into the world, he sent him as a shepherd. And tonight we'd like to bring into your view and into focus the wondrous person of this good shepherd. Because you see, friend, this good shepherd is seeking for you. You know that God has always been seeking for man. From the very moment that we chose to turn our back on God, God began His search and rescue mission. In fact, man had taken that course and made that choice and turned his back on the God that had blessed him. And God didn't have to move. God was under no obligation. But the Bible tells us the God that made man came into that garden, and no doubt with a longing and plaintive voice, He says, Adam, where are you? Tonight that same voice is,
echoing through this auditorium. Unheard but real. As the God of creation and the God of salvation is calling for you.
And he's followed you. And he's done that with one purpose. That he might seek and save that which is lost. Why is the shepherd seeking tonight? There's only one very, very pronounced reason. It's because we are lost. L-O-S-T. Lost. And as we turn to the chapter that our brother read from Luke chapter 15, we find the initial story is of a little sheep that begins to wander away. Simple story. One of the simplest stories the Lord Jesus told. And that little sheep, perhaps just with his head down, munching on the grass, just taking a step at a time. Not really intending to kind of wander away, but there he was, just a step here, a step there, and another cluster of grass over there, and he just edges his way, inch by inch, foot by foot, until he finally looks up. And there's no other sheep around. And he doesn't recognize the terrain. And there's no shepherd there. And all of a sudden, whether he realizes it or not, he's lost. I might be speaking to someone here tonight, and you don't realize that you're on the fast track. You perhaps are not aware that you're on a slippery downward slope that leads to eternal night and destruction. In fact, the Lord Jesus told it very plainly. He said, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." And he added, "Many there be which go in thereat." Interesting that almost every city I get to, there's always a Broadway. And that little sheep was lost in its pathway. And I'm likely speaking to some here, and whether you want to admit it or not, you're lost with regard to your pathway through life. I don't think I'll forget too quickly about a night back in Newfoundland. We were preaching the gospel in a very small portable building. We had been trying to get a man by the name of Frank to come. And all we had succeeded in doing was getting his wife to come. We were thankful for that. One Friday night, Frank came home from a drinking party. And he was so drunk, he didn't really know what he was doing. And his dear wife had to get up and drag him in and flop him on the couch. And Frank slept off that hangover, and by Sunday afternoon he was starting to come around, and so they decided to go over to the mother-in-law for supper. A trip of maybe 4 or 5 miles, and coming back, they were passing down this road where the little portable building was, and so Frank's wife Mary said, "Frank, just drop me off here. I want to go to the gospel service." And Frank just kept driving. And Mary became a bit more agitated, and she said, "Frank, I told you to drop me off. I want to go to the gospel meeting." And Frank looked at his wife, and he says, "I think we'll all go tonight." And so he stopped the car, turned it around, and came back into the little parking lot, and when I came in with a vanload of people and walked in, I could hardly believe my eyes. Because right on the second row here on my left was Frank and Mary Loder and their family. First gospel meeting. And I want to say that man, I thought he listened. He told us otherwise after. But we had a large chart on the front of that building, on the wall. It was a picture of the two roads. One went up to heaven, one went down to hell. Many of you are familiar with that, that chart, that map. And as Frank went out of the building that night, myself and the other man told him, "Frank, we're glad to see you. We hope you'll come back." He says, "I will." And what that man told us after God had saved him in two or three weeks, he said, "When I came into that building," he said, "I don't remember anything that you men said." Not very flattering. No credit to us. He said, "All I saw was the black part of that map at the bottom with the simple letters H-E-L-L there." And he said to us, he says, "When I saw that black area, I said to myself, Frank, that's where you're going. Lost. I trust you'll be awakened tonight. Sin has separated us from God. Sin is extracting a tremendous price. The God of this world is pushing us down the road as fast as time can take us. And tonight men and women are in danger of perishing for all eternity." And yet into this world came the Good Shepherd, seeking, calling, following, longing to find that sheep which is lost. That same chapter tells us of a coin that was lost from its owner. And when I think of that coin lying still behind perhaps a bureau or a bed or wherever it found itself in the darkness, helpless, I made aware that just like that coin, we have been lost by sin with regard to God's purposes for us. You see, that coin was made to be used for transactions, for gain. And you know tonight that God has made us with some wonderful purposes? We weren't made to sit on a bar stool, wasting our resources and losing our family. We were made to enjoy His presence. We weren't made to crawl through the struggles of life with no hope. We are made to know God and to enjoy Him forever and to serve Him. We weren't made to make ourselves a name in this world, but be unrecognized for eternity. We are made for God with divine purposes. And as we've been hearing of the story of that young man who left home, here's a man, and he lost the joy and participation of the blessings of the family. And when I think of 25 years of being in the family of God by the new birth, and all the blessings and joys of being linked with this Good Shepherd, oh, I'm thankful He sought for me and found me. Oh, I'm thankful He called. Oh, I'm thankful He never gave up. And tonight in this meeting, there are those who have gone down the road of life, and perhaps you've gone a long, long ways. But the Good Shepherd is right behind you. And He's brought you to this meeting. And He longs that you might just stop and turn, that He might save you. Amazing where the Good Shepherd finds the sheep. We were having meetings in New Hampshire in a gospel tent, and just like audiences here in Toronto, it seemed that every single night had new faces, constantly changing. One night into that tent came a young man, never seen him before, never seen him since. And of course, as you look at people that come into a meeting like this for the first time, you do try and evaluate their reaction to see if they're agreeing with you or not. And there was a man, a young man, and he was nodding and he was smiling, he was appreciating what was being said, and I thought to myself, that fellow likely appreciates the Savior. And so we went out of the, as we folks were leaving the meeting, I happened to shake hands with him, and I said, "Great to see you. This message new to you?" And he said, "No, not at all. I said, tell me, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? He says, yes, I do. I said, where did you get saved? And he kind of stepped back and he says, now you're not going to believe this. But he says, I got saved in the bathroom of a Greyhound bus heading west. And not too many people get saved in the bathroom of a Greyhound bus. I said, tell me about it. And to make a long story short, here was a young man that decided that the far country was going to be for him. Left the gospel, left his parents' God, left his Bible behind, and he left the Midwestern states to head west. He got to the west and got a job, and before long, sure enough, ran into a Christian. Are you saved? The same question that he heard back home. And finally those interested Christians got to him, and so he crossed the continent over to Florida. Got a job there. And before long, same thing happens. You Christian? You saved? And finally those circumstances got to him, and he came up to Chicago. And you guessed it, same thing happened. He said, I had it up to here. He said, I decided to go back out west. And he says, I was bought my ticket, got on the bus, we were heading out. But I had no peace. And he says, finally, I got up, went into the bathroom. And there, to my amazement, on the very small little cabinet there, was just a very small group of gospel papers placed there by some Christian. And he says, right there and then in that lavatory, I says, oh God, I can't keep running. Finished. And he finally stopped and allowed the Good Shepherd to find him. Tell me, how long are you going to run? What are you going to gain by continuing to run? Where's your pathway going to lead you? What a tragic thing to go through life without a shepherd. What a tragic reality to die without a shepherd. When I think of this good shepherd, I think not only that he's seeking, but we read these words, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Those are simple words. But you know, there's something about that verse I can't understand. Did you read what was there? It says, the good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. I can't understand the focus of his love. You see, if we had read the good shepherd giving his life for other shepherds, that would make sense to me. That's an equality. But why waste your life on ignorant sheep that always go astray? And yet that's the truth of John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And when we think of this inequality between God and man, could I just try and place it in a very simple contrast here tonight? Tell me, would you be willing to give your life for some of the ants that live in your backyard? Ah, you say they're of no value. And as God looked upon man, all he saw was sin. All he saw were 5.8 billion ants going their own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And this world is filled with people. They're going their own way. The wrong way. And yet the focus of this shepherd's love is upon the sheep. His delights, his joy, his concern, his interest is upon this little speck of sand called earth with all 5.8 billion of us. And tonight, could I tell you, he knows your name. And he knows where you are tonight. And he knows where you were last night. And he knows where you're going. And this wondrous shepherd who not only seeks, but he sacrifices, has beamed his love upon this world of lost sheep. But I read that here is this good shepherd, and he says he gave. Or he laid down his life for the sheep. As I read those wondrous words, the extent and dimensions of his love for lost, guilty sinners involve Calvary. What happened at Calvary? At Calvary, a shepherd was smitten. The Son of God was placed into our hands. And for a few brief moments, the Father allowed us to handle His Son. And what happened there revealed our heart of enmity against God. We watch as He speaks truth to the high priest. And one of those men, one of those priests standing by, came alongside and he slapped him in his face. And in effect, he was saying, "You're lying." The one who's known as the truth and who is truth was accused of lying. Men came along and they spit into his face. They violated his personal zone, if I could put it into our English, stepping up to him. With absolute indifference, they spit in that lovely face. Other men came along, and they pulled the beard from his cheeks. And if that weren't enough, soldiers surrounded him and pummeled his face and lacerated his back with a whip. Until his back looked like a plowed field, only the furrows were furrows of blood. But you know what the Bible says? Oh, that's what we did. But the Bible says that he's the one who gave his back to the smiters. And he gave his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. He hid not his face from shame and spitting. And as the good shepherd, he stood there, allowing sheep to do their worst. But all I want to say, this good shepherd went further. And a moment came after all that man had done to him, bearing his cross, he went forth to the place of the skull. And at that place, Zechariah tells us that a sword awoke. "Hands off my man, now the hand of God was seen." And the sword of judgment was applied to that shepherd. "Smite the shepherd." "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow." And there at dark Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ poured out his soul unto death. He gave his back. He gave his cheeks. He gave his blood. He gave his life. He gave all. That's why I can't help but sing some Sunday mornings, "On such love my soul still ponder, love so great, so full, so free,
say, while lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to me? Because for 21.5 years I found no beauty in this shepherd. I didn't want to have him. But a moment came when I realized that the Son of God, the Good Shepherd, loved me. Gave himself for me. I trust you'll come to know him tonight. My time is gone. I'd like to tell you that when he finds you and saves you, he secures you. I'm thankful that I can tell you tonight that by the grace of God, and because of the wondrous work of my good shepherd, I'll never see hell. Never. I don't deserve it. I deserve everlasting darkness. But this blessed shepherd secures. And one more thing, this blessed good shepherd, he satisfies. He's the one that carries us sometimes. He's the one that surrounds our lives with tender mercies. He's the one that the psalmist could say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever because of the good shepherd. Tell me, friend, have you ever discovered your loss? What wonderful words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow tonight to thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee that thou hast revealed thyself in all thy fullness, the very one that inhabits eternity tonight. The great God has come among us in the form of a servant. We're thankful tonight for the good shepherd. We thank thee for all that he has done, for every soul that he has found down the course of time, and for every soul here tonight that can look back to a moment when we were found by that seeking shepherd. We pray tonight that others will be brought in. We thank thee for his call. We thank thee for his compassion. We thank thee for the fullness of his sacrifice. And, O God, we thank thee that he is mighty to say tonight, bless thy word, we pray. Bless this audience, each individual personally. Lord, would it please thee to save and rescue men and women from perishing forever.